Good evening, everybody. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. And tonight, a wide variety of topics. I'm going to read a little discourse here that I think everybody should listen to and understand. People are looking for answers, and they're really not getting any. I'm going to talk about the Texas power outage, the weather, the most unbelievable storm ever to hit the United States. Interestingly, it's only there. And then, of course, all of the other issues. Is science really science anymore? I'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about how this all relates back to food shortages, water systems being poisoned, and energy. The big things. What more basic things can you need in your life? Energy, water, and food. And that's why a long time ago, I saw this coming. I said, you know, when it comes down to the wire, they're going to take away the power, they're going to take away the food, and they're going to poison the water systems. And that's exactly what's going on. And, of course, this is control, the wearing of the masks, the face diapers, COVID, a big scam, a pandemic. Let me just inform you about something that in 2009, this is due to some really great research by a woman that's not very well heard on the internet, but she discovered that in 2009, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, changed the definition of pandemic. Prior to 2009, pandemic was where a lot of people were dying because of a communicable disease, and the whole issue of people dying was important. They changed that to allow case numbers to be the interpretation of pandemic. In other words, people didn't have to die. And the other thing they did is they related it to emergency, edicts by government officials. In other words, their recommendation was that if there was enough cases of something, then it could be called a pandemic, and then pandemic could be translated or equated to an emergency, and that could allow governments to shut down the population. So it all goes back to this one little point in history where they changed the definition of pandemic. So now you have the fake PCR test, which is not a test for COVID or anything else. It's not a test that should even be used, and giving it to everybody, they stick it up your nose, way up your nose. They could just take a sample from your mouth, just saliva in your mouth. You could spit into a tube. They don't have to invade your body. But what they're doing is putting microchip nanoparticles up in your brain so it can sample your brain waves and transmit them on a 5G network. So that's what the swab is all about. The public being manipulated again. I'll be talking about schools opening. They're going to have isolation. They're going to have plexiglass cages for students with 5G, and kids can't talk or communicate. Don't send your kids to school. Do not send your kids to any kind of school. I'm going to be talking about Irish Americans. Very interesting topic. The so-called polar vortex. So I got a lot of topics to cover. First, I'm going to read something here, and this is very important. This is something I wrote, and I sent it out to, I'm not going to say how many people, but a good number of influential people. And so the topic, what is really going on in a nutshell? And this is a summary, and so the idea is people are looking for answers. You got COVID over here. You got this big snowstorm. You've got the power going down. You got water poison systems being poisoned. You got food shortage come along. You got fake elections. Elections will never be fair ever again. Control of all aspects of government, the news media, and so on. So where's all this coming from? And so in about 3 minutes here, I'm going to explain to you where all of this is coming from and where it's going. So listen, what is really going on? This is it in a nutshell. Take all the incidents and they all come back to one thing. The Jesuits took over the Vatican hundreds of years ago, creating wars and marriages between nations. robbing all wealth of the Incas and Aztecs and brutally killing them in the name of Christendom. The Vatican controlling Jesuits. They run all the universities in the world, the news media, the intelligence agencies, the banks, the real estate, the government. Their front organization, the Rothschild World Bank, runs all governments of the world, and the CIA, their police force, blankets the world with operations that report back to Rome. The Pope is a figurehead to control one-third of the world population and to pit white populations against Arabs to comply with the genocide agenda, while creating false flag operations to influence public policy. They now have everyone in D.C. that controls all of the news, politics, courts, science, Congress, both houses, and president. What is their main objective now? As it has been for a long time. Subduing the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Israelite population of the lost tribes that ended up in Ireland and Northern Europe and Scandinavia after they fled Egypt under Moses. Irish, Northern Europeans, and Germans, by the way, of which Trump is a descendant of both, with his Bible in his hand that his mother gave to him, and she's from the island, one of the islands of Scotland. They hate Trump because Jews hate the people from whom they are robbing their heritage, as they continue to rob the true Israelite heritage and hard work ethics and products. Claim they went out of Egypt with Moses. What a bunch of they were wandering, thieving tribes in the steppes of Russia, just getting their feet wet and being thrown out of every country in the world until they converted in Spain during the Inquisition, the Jesuits, to take over the Catholic Church and later found their home in the good old U.S. of A. Look at anything that is happening today and it comes back to the fake Jews continuing to destroy the Israelite race. All of the LBG is to further destroy it. The battle against the family, COVID, 9/11, John Kennedy having his head blown off in public, the treatment of Trump, and the list goes on. Making people wear face diapers, they are laughing their asses off. The G8, now G7, because Russia and Putin stopped playing their game. The United Nations, the Paris Climate Accord, the deal with Iran, theft of intellectual property, their Rhodes Scholars, 7,000 of which are in Washington, D.C. alone, educated at Oxford with the sole intent of taking down the Christian white nation once known as the USA. That is what's really happening. Take anything you see today, and it can be traced back to this. And by the way, just a little comment on Rhodes Scholars. Bill Clinton, Rice, what's her name, the under Obama and now the Secretary of State under Biden, the fake President Biden. Rhodes Scholars. These people were handpicked to go off to Oxford to be educated on how to destroy the United States. And you notice they have political and they have political immunity. That's why Bill Clinton, when he was president, they were doing all kinds of stuff. He was snorting cocaine in the White House. He had women in there. He was raping women in the White House. Bill Clinton, he was tried for it and convicted. Yeah, it's no secret. And he knew the whole time that, you know, Billy would just come skating through because he was doing the bidding of the New World Order. The Bushes, the Clintons, going back, drug dealing, the Iran-Contra deal. They shot Reagan in the side to get him out of the way because he thought he was going to be president. They taught him also. And there were many attempts on Trump's life, although Trump was smart enough to have his own protection around him. He would have been dead long ago. They tried everything in the book. How many? Two impeachment trials. Two impeachment trials. Good grief. A three-year... 30, $40 million probe with all of the attorneys they could muster that were Trump haters, and they couldn't get a conviction there for Russian collusion, of which there was none. So anyway, all of this, and this is not politics, this is a race war. This is a race war against Israelites. And if you know, most people out there don't understand that you are Israelites. You are people that came from those northern European countries in Ireland. Here's another little fun fact for you. If you look at minorities in the United States, the black population, the African American population, makes up about 42%. I'm sorry, 42 million people. The Mexican American make up around 36 million people. Those are the legal ones. If you count the illegal ones, they surpass the blacks by a long shot. You're pushing about 50 million. That's what I always said. 50% of Mexico is in the United States. Mexico 10 years ago had a population of 104 million. Half of them easily are in the United States with a generation. We don't even know how many kids under 10 year old there are. So let's just make it a round number, 50 million Mexican Americans. This is not Latinos. We're not talking Cubans or South America or Central American. We're just talking Mexicans. And so, you know, that's fine. Whatever. I'm not decrying this. I'm just giving numbers. Irish Americans make up 32 million people from the last census in 2019. So that means that the Irish Americans are the biggest minority, or the, I should say, the smallest minority, the smallest in terms of number, or in terms of ranking of minority. Irish Americans rank above blacks and Mexican Americans, the two biggest groups in the United States. So, and I've always said this, the hyphenation, you know, let's get down to reality. We're all Americans. All, if you get into this country and you're doing your thing and working hard and working for your American dream, then you're an American. So let's stop all of this stuff. But let's make it very clear. Irish Americans are the number one minority in the United States. So, okay, the reason I'm talking about this is because there is a race war going on. It's in the schools, it's in the music, it's in Hollywood, it's in politics, it's in the news media, it's in the science news media, it's in control. Take insurance, medical industry, you look at anything. Look around you, any business, restaurant business, liquor business, whatever you look at, you will find that it is controlled by one small group of people. One small, and taxation, where does all that money go? Okay, so I wanted to set this straight. So when you're looking for, like, oh no, what's this all about? And by next week, there'll be something else. This week, it was the weather. The whole United States, deep freeze. Was that controlled? It could be. They have the ability to set those jet streams down and hold them there, and they even invented a special term, NASA in cahoots with the National Weather Service. There's a new term. It's called polar vortex. When I was a kid, there were no polar vortexes. When, you know, 20 years ago, there was no such thing as a polar vortex. How come there is now? Well, you just look to NASA. Good old NASA defining what a polar vortex is, and then they hand it off to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, what we call the National Weather Service, and all of a sudden you have a polar vortex. Magic. Cold. Everybody's deep freeze. The power systems don't work. The water systems are frozen. There's a food shortage on. 43% of the next winter wheat crop is being lost. So when you look at any one of these things, look at any one of them, and it comes back to what I just read to you. And I read it off because I wanted to get it word for word. And so anyway, it's important for you to understand you're under attack out there. You have been for a long time. This is nothing new. And the latest one with the COVID is bringing in the Marxist Communist Manifesto to instill it on everybody in the United States. This is not the first time these people have pulled this. They did it in Russia in 1905. They did it in the Ukraine in 1929. They did it in, pick a country, and they moved in and put in their agenda. Take Germany. After World War II, they put in their agenda. With the communist revolution in Russia, they supported both sides, the Mensheviks, the whites, and the reds were the Bolsheviks, and the Rothschild banking community put their money into the Bolsheviks. They could have had either side win, but the end result was by the end of when the smoke cleared from the Russian Revolution and people went back and tried to pick up the pieces, the Rothschild banking system was firmly in place in Russia. And it had been until Putin came along and basically threw them out. That's why Putin is no longer, that's why Russia has been thrown out of the G8. The G8 is an economic forum where the top eight leaders of the world have a reunion every year to discuss world policies and financial policies. Now it's the G7 because Putin pulled out. Putin also pulled out of the new great world reset. Remember Schwab in his book, you know, another one of the crew that are trying to take over the world with a new world order. And make it very clear, if you see names, if you see their faces, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bidens, whoever, the Rices, whoever, they're not anywhere near the top player. They are workers, you know, who are giddy over being in power. And they get their worldly reward by selling out their own people. They live in gated communities. They're protected. They are protected from above and below, from you, the public. And the reason is because if the public woke up one day to find out what they were really doing, they would raid those enclosed complexes and rip their heads off and hang them from the highest yardarm. That's what would happen. But everybody is listening to fake news, and you're looking over here at COVID, you're looking over there at elections, you're looking over here at China, you know, taking over the U.S. Everything is a diversion to keep you from focusing on the real story. So tonight, as I talk about Texas with the alternative energy crisis, which was planned, this is playing out. This is not an accident. Stupid politicians making stupid decisions based on big corporations, that's what's going on in a nutshell. Texas depended and invested heavily into alternative energy, primarily wind, and Texas has good wind. The only problem is the three-blade wind turbines don't work. They never did. If you listen to this show at all, you get a royal dose of that every week. You're probably tired of hearing about it. But now, if you live in Texas, maybe you'll perk your ears up and listen. This was a planned outage. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but it was bound to happen at some point, where these worthless three-blade wind turbines just didn't work. And so on the days when they were bragging about providing 30% of Texas energy from the wind, hey, this is the real result. That was all smoke and mirrors. That was all the man behind the curtain pulling the lever. And remember the scene from Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy and Toto, the little dog, and the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow, and the Lion, they're all there. And the wind blows, and it blows the curtain back, and there's the wizard pulling levers and making, you know, thunder. And they go, hey, you're not the wizard. You don't have any power at all. And the wizard, then he goes, he's trying to cover it up. He goes, don't pay any attention to that man over there behind the curtain. Don't pay any attention to him. And they discovered that this guy is not a wizard. And that's what people are discovering today. And you better discover that politics is not going to solve your problem. It's controlled. There's never going to be a fair election ever again in the history of the world in any country. So that just, you know, if you believe in the Easter Bunny, if you believe in Santa Claus, you know, then you can believe in the political system in the United States is somehow going to save you. But, you know, if you're a normal thinking person, you have to come to the realization that politics is dead. There was a fleeting ray of hope with a guy named Donald Trump, and he did not do very well when it came to, especially with the COVID thing, but he was out of his element. He was working to bring back an economy to, actually the world economy was doing very much better because of his business deals. And the way he made his business deals is that you can't take your company off to a third world country, get cheap labor, and then come back and sell that product for the same price in the U.S. Because what we're going to do is we're going to tax you. We're going to tax you until that all of your profit is gone from hiring that cheap labor. And then he went to the countries, the governments of those countries, and he said, you have to pay your workers a good wage. We're not going to use your workers, your nickel-an-hour workers anymore. You have to, and that's why China wouldn't bite. That's why they never really got a good deal made with China, because China's still looking at the nickel-an-hour labor. Mexico came on board. Mexico had a very good economy going, and a lot of the companies stayed in Mexico, but paid their workers a fair wage. So it had a good effect, because they were already set up there, and a lot of car parts are made in Mexico. A lot of things that are small manufacturing, I would just call it, I would put it in that category. Mexico is not making entire cars, they're making parts. They're making like hubcaps and ball joints and mufflers and things like that. And then those get shipped to the United States where they're assembled. And when they say car assembly plant, they mean that. At those factories in Detroit and, you know, where the various cars are being built in the United States, those are assembly plants. They get in the materials, the mufflers, the wheels, the tires, the hubcaps, the ball joints, the tie rods. They get all of that from subcontracted factories where they're making this stuff, and that all comes together. And then it's assembled at the assembly plant, and a lot of that stuff was coming from Mexico. And so these companies, Ford and GE, I know because I used to live in Mexico. I used to teach the kids to the presidents of the company that were in Mexico, Coca-Cola, you name it, Nestle's, whatever. I taught their kids. That's what I was doing in Mexico when I was there. And I also tutored the kids. And so I would go over to these rich mansions up in the Palmas area of Mexico City and go into the houses. The maids would let me in, and I would tutor the kids at their houses in mathematics and science and things like that. And that's how I made some extra money when I was there, because I was teaching in a private school. Okay, so anyway, I know a little bit about this. I know the people. I know the people who worked there. I lived with the poorest people. I worked with the richest people in Mexico. And I'll tell you, a lot of people don't know anything about Mexico. They don't have any clue. They go to a 5-star hotel in Cancun and they think they were at Mexico. Believe me, you were not at Mexico. You were at a 5-star hotel. It could have been any other place on the planet because they never had any contact with Mexicans. Okay, so anyway, this is a the whole issue with Texas is that the equipment they installed there was not designed to weather cold. They had overinvested in 3-blade wind turbines, which they're finding out don't work. Now there's a big backlash. Now here's the, listen well. Okay, so you probably heard Tucker Carlson. You've probably heard other, you've read other articles about how this darn wind energy doesn't work. We cannot depend on it. And that is a true story, the way it's rolled out. The General Electric, Siemens, Vestas, those are the big three, wind turbines don't work. And this was the plan all along. This was the plan all along. And then guess what? the people are going to wake up, they're going to rebel, and they're going to go, doggone, we got to get back to that good old nuclear power and coal power and natural gas power of General Electric. That's General Electric's core business. Why would they invent a stupid three-blade wind turbine that would take over their core business? It doesn't make business sense. Doesn't make any sense. So they invented something, and they didn't really invent it. They took the worthless design from NASA. That three-blade wind turbine was designed by NASA in the 1970s. NASA designed that stupid three-blade wind turbine. It has a motor inside. It cannot start. The wind blowing on it will never start a three-blade wind turbine. You need a motor in there that runs on electricity from the grid to get those blades going. That's why when you drive by one of these complexes of three-blade wind turbines running out in Kansas or the Eagle Pass in California or Nebraska or Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota, or anywhere you see these vast fields of three-blade wind turbines, they're never turning. Or Texas or whatever, they're not turning. And you look out there and you'll see one or two kind of slowly turning to see if they can pick up a breeze to get them started. And if they did, if the wind were blowing strong enough, then they would start more of them. But typically they just sit there because there's not a wind. There's only a very narrow band of wind for which they work. I was out in California one time. I was going out to San Francisco. And this was before going over the last rise as you drop down into San Francisco. I stopped at a fruit market right there, and they were, great fruit products. So I stopped to pick up a bunch of fruit to eat in the car, and I looked down the road, and there's a great big, all by itself, three-blade wind turbine just sitting there. And so I commented to the lady selling the fruit. I said, Your three-blade wind turbine, I said, there's a pretty good wind today. That thing's not spinning. She goes, that thing never spins. That thing sits there all the time. It doesn't produce an ounce of electricity. It never has, never will. This is the fruit lady telling me this. And I just kind of laughed and, okay, I bought my fruit and I went on my way. But this is the fruit lady telling me that three-blade wind turbines don't work. This is not a secret for the people that have been around these or happen to have one stuck in their backyard, and they make all that noise and racket and put out electrical signaling. They don't work. They never did. They weren't supposed to. Anyway, so the outage in Texas was planned. You have politicians that wear suit and tie every day. They don't know anything. They make their decisions based on corporate money under the table. So, people like Warren Buffett making billions of dollars off of government subsidies, laughing all the way to the bank and stating openly that these things don't work. Nobody would invest in these things unless you got the government subsidy. So it's been a big scam from the very beginning. So at any rate, what happened in Texas? The blame going on the three-blade wind turbines, yeah, that's okay, but it was more than that. It was a lot more than that. It was incompetence from top to bottom. And let me tell you something, I don't care where you are, you're sitting out there listening to this show or you're listening to the archive after the fact, you are going to have a power outage within the next year or two. This is coming. This is not just Texas, and you're going to be paying huge rates for the electricity because of the bad investments of these power companies. Nobody's minding the shop. There ain't no captain on the ship here. It's a ship without a rudder, without a captain. Now, if you have been listening to my past week's shows, this is what I've been hammering on, and I bet people are going, doggone, we're going to have to listen to him talk about this again. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There's a reason why I'm pounding on this. Because electricity, food, electricity, if you don't have electricity, you're not going to get gas in your car either, to go down the road. And in fact, there's not many places to go to because the food store, all the food's going to be bad on the fresh food rack because they don't have electricity and all the food went bad. The truckers can't get the food to market because they can't get gasoline or diesel into their vehicles. I'll tell you something else, and this is not to scare or upset people. I'm just telling you reality. If you take something as complex as the United States economy and you shut down 40% of it, it's just a matter of time until it starts bleeding into the things that are still operating. And I consider myself lucky. My wing generator systems are still being manufactured. My water filter products are still being manufactured. And everything that I do is still operating. But there's a lot of places out there that are completely shut down. A lot of the competition of my old competition with water filters, they're gone. Bye-bye. Not here anymore. And I've been able to manage and keep things open and keep things operating. But my point is that eventually it's like an old system that's one part breaks down, like an old car. You know, the generator goes, well, you can run the car, you can kind of jerry-rig something, run on the battery for a little while, bring it home, charge up the battery. Or the battery dies. The battery dies. So you push your car to get it started, and then the generator takes over, and the alternator, or the back in the old cars, like the generator, electric generator, and you can drive around on that. Just don't turn it off, because you won't be able to start it again unless you push it again. So okay, that happens, and then all of a sudden the right shock goes out, and the right left rear shock goes out. Okay, you can drive it like that. The tires bounce around quite a bit. Okay, then that gets out of alignment, and the tires are now out of alignment, but you still drive it around because you drive it slower so you don't have vibration in your tires. And then all of a sudden, your tire starts wearing funny in front because it's not aligned anymore. And then the engine is getting old, etc., and starts to burn, but you can still get around. Eventually, that car is going to just not work anymore, to the point where you can't drive it anymore. That's the United States economy. That's what's going on. And, so then you take the major things, electricity, which is necessary for other kinds of fuels. If you have liquid propane, you got to have a pump on that, a high-pressure pump, to pump it into storage and to transfer it, etc. So everything starts breaking down. And you have a pretend president in the White House who doesn't know anything. First day, signed 45 executive orders and had no idea what he was signing. I mean, whoa. Yeah, I mean, this is the end. This is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end already occurred a long time ago, but this is really the beginning of the end. You got to, and I don't think Biden will be there long. Harris will come in, she'll appoint Hillary Clinton, and then Hillary Clinton is going to be your president. That's my prediction. Okay, so anyway, let me move on to a couple other topics about school closings and the being open in Florida. I saw Ron DeSantis give probably a 10-minute speech about how they're keeping Florida open. Believe me, they're in for some rude awakenings because... for him to defy the standard that's been set, everybody's got to wear masks for the next 100 days, and then that'll extend that for another year. Then it'll be two masks. Whoops, you got to wear two masks. You can't just wear one. And then, from I heard yesterday, that they're going to make people take a nylon stocking and pull it over your head. That's the next step, boys and girls. They're going to have you, and now school's opening up. They're going to have plexiglass cages that the students have to go sit in. So they can't talk to any other students. There won't be any communication between kids. They'll have to sit there in their mask, complete isolation. Don't send your kids to school. And even in Florida, where they're keeping the schools open, that's with the caveat that they're teaching the kids something. Kids need social interaction. That's the only benefit I can imagine for why people would want to send their kids to school, but public school is a disaster. The subject matter is so twisted, distorted, and that when your kids get done with school, first of all, you won't know who they are. You're going to wonder where they got all these crazy ideas, and they don't know anything. They don't have any preparation for the real world at all. And then they'd want to send them off to college where they get, a liberal education. Oh, my goodness. I just noticed something also regarding education, that they're putting more and more online, for example, master's degree programs and things like this. So you can say, get your master's degree in something like accounting or office management, things like that. It's nothing of significance, but you can get a degree, a master's degree in a year online. And so what they're doing is they're cheapening down the requirements for getting degrees. So if you have a degree, a master's degree, and this is the whole point also of opening up education so anybody can go to college. And that's a formula for disaster, because if you have a college degree, all of a sudden it's going to be everybody's going to have one. Okay, but back to schools, like K-12 schools. That's why I developed an education program in science, and I have that on my webpage. But it's not just a program in science. It defines what is being done, all of the just fake information that's being propagated in the schools, teaching kids basically that they don't have a soul, that they don't have a spirit, isolating them, destroying the kids and making them into little, I don't know what. So you go back to school, you have 5G, you have masks, you have isolation, you have plexiglass cages that you have to sit in all day, communist propaganda agenda, and required vaccinations. What's there? I'm trying to find something good about this. And they're, you know, sports are out. You can't have any kids playing together. Good grief. We certainly can't have that. And the teachers in front of the room, don't talk to me, kid. You might breathe your virus on me. Oh, my goodness. But the end result is, and Ron DeSantis said this also, is he said the formula for returning kids to school simply will not work and all the schools will remain closed. So the schools are remaining open in Florida, and they're going to remain open. And, they're not having issues there. They're not having kids giving the teachers illnesses and everything. But there again, the teachers' unions are behind all of this. And that's the issue. It's another political, if there was ever a Democratic left-wing nutcase organization on the planet, it's the teachers' unions. And they have taken over education and made it into a mass production. It's made education easy for the teachers, no value for the students, and very profitable for teachers. So anyway, the whole issue with schools, don't send your kids back to school. And if I were in Florida, if I were to give somebody advice in Florida, yeah, send your kids to the schools. But you better bring them home every night and find out what the heck they're learning and set them straight. Because they are very good at taking your kids' brains and turning them into mush and then reprogramming them into the type of person they want in the New World Order. Compliant, believing that they are guilty for the past, problems of the world. These kids didn't own slaves. Why are they being taught that they're responsible? That's absurd. Nobody has ever been responsible for their ancestors' doings. If you want to do that, I can guarantee you can go back to any ancestor or ancestral line and find problems. You don't have to look very far. And, except for Irish. I'm just kidding. Irish had their problems too. But they were mainly under attack for most of their existence. They were defending onslaughts by the British, by the Romans, whoever it was. But the Irish are fairly quiet. They like their music. They like their beer. They like their whiskey. They like building big ships. They built, you know, all the big build shipbuilding was done in Belfast, in Dublin, that's where all the the Titanic was built. All of those big ships were built by Irish. And why were they built? Shipbuilders and potato farmers and fishermen. Those are my ancestors. Because they were Vikings. The Vikings from Norway, and this is the connection too, I should have made this connection a little bit earlier, that the Vikings came from Norway, and the original flow of the population for the one tribe of Israel, the true tribe of Israel, is that they went into Scandinavia and Northern Europe, and then they were blocked off from the south, so the Romans... the Northern African people, the Moors that populated Spain, etc. Those were contained because of mountains, the Pyrenees Mountains, and then the Black Forest that kept the southern part of Europe, the southern part of France, and going down into Italy, etc., kept those separated until they were developed. So the Scandinavian countries, the Vikings, around 800 AD, were moving out in their big ships, and they were populating North and Western Ireland. And those are my ancestors. My ancestors were Vikings, pure and simple. And so anyway, I could go on about the true history. But these were the Israelites that moved out of Egypt with Moses. They were blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. And none of this history comes through today because everybody wants to keep you from understanding your true heritage. If you can destroy a person's heritage and history, then you can control their future. That's a formula for success. And that's what's going on today. And that's why they don't want me talking about this on the air. And that's why I am talking about it on the air, because it's literally the only place you're going to see this. The Scandinavians and the Northern Europeans were very industrious people. They were always moving, inventing, creating. And so they were the ones that built the, you know, the auto industry. If you want to see who built the, you know, the airplanes and the electronics, the transistor, all of this came from this group of people. And the people in power right now in the world, the Vatican Bank, the Rothschilds, they, you know, on and on, that list that I read in originally, they are very afraid of the Irish and the Israelites because they're very honest people. The Israelites are very honest people. They're very hardworking. They're very simple people. They just want to live and take care of their family. That's why they want to destroy all of those values, because they want to destroy basically the Israelite. It's a race of people, and so that's why you should claim Irish American as a hyphenated minority group. It's the smallest minority group of major groups, and so that would make it number one minority group in the United States. That's above African Americans, Mexican Americans, which are the next two. Irish Americans. And so I think it's important to understand this, because you have to understand your history. To the idea of making you wear a mask that doesn't do anything, if you look at the historical record of where people had to wear a mask to cover their face, it goes back a long way in its agenda to destroy a population, to keep them from talking together. It's illegal to talk together. I'll tell you a little story also. The Ceilidhs, it's an Irish tradition, but you'll see when they dance with their arms straight down to their sides. And dancing was prohibited by the English when the English occupied Ireland. So what they did is the English soldiers would be walking around outside the buildings. And so to make it look like they were just standing there and milling around, the Irish danced with their arms straight on their sides. That's the history of that. because if they were dancing with their arms up and moving around, the English soldiers would see them and bust in and arrest them. Dancing, music was illegal in Ireland because of the British. That's, you know, and the British got their marching orders from the Vatican. Same thing. It all flowed downhill. So when you see like the Irish dancers, what's the river dance, or you see those groups dancing, they have their hands and arms at their side. That's why. Because it was illegal to have fun. It was illegal to have fun when the British controlled Ireland. Okay, and that's what they're doing now. They're taking all your kids. They want them to sit in a classroom in a plexiglass cage with a mask on. Don't talk. No, I'm afraid they're gone too far. This is, you know, no more nice. Don't be nice to these people. There's no reason to be nice to anybody. And people that are so stupid that they got wrapped up in this thing, this COVID thing, which there has never been a COVID virus isolated. The CDC has never isolated this. It's all a big scam. And sure, people are dying, but they're dying of other things, of other complications. And I've always said that somebody is going around sprinkling fairy dust. In other words, nanoparticles that affect your lungs, and people are can't breathe. It's causing them, and their immune system cannot get rid of these. And that's what's going on in a lot of the, that's my belief of what's going on. But be that as it may, if you look at the number of people that died this year, this past year from flu, it went from hundreds of thousands down to less than 1,000. So they're counting all of the flu cases as COVID. And then they stick people on a respirator and they blow out their lungs and then they die and they say they died of COVID. That's what's going on. And that was all planned from the very beginning. That was all part of the plan. That's why Fauci came out immediately and told President Trump, we need hundreds of thousands of respirators. And knowing full well that that would be killing the people that went into the hospital. So, and you know, they with flu or other pneumonia, the things that the illnesses that people typically get in the wintertime in their respiratory, the majority of them, you feel bad, your immune system is reacting. The issue is that if there is such a thing as a COVID virus, by now, probably 90% of the American public have been exposed to it. So a vaccine, there's no rationale for giving a vaccine to somebody that's already been exposed and has an immune system buildup against whatever it is. And so I would say it's safe to say that the American public, 90% of you have already been exposed to this and are walking around and your body is doing just fine. So, and the stupid PCR test is not a test for anything. It doesn't test for COVID-19 or flu or anything else. It's a worthless test. So the American public have been completely, completely bamboozled on this whole issue. Okay, turning corners a little bit. What do you do? And I don't give people advice. I don't predict the future. There are people that are claiming that we're heading into a mini ice age. It's very interesting. I don't make predictions myself because there are many, many, many factors involved in the sun's operation and the world weather situation, etc. And so trying to make predictions based on a single factor is not a good idea. What's happening today might be manipulated. That could be the situation where they're just redirecting a polar stream that across the United States and maintaining it there using laser satellites. That's very possible. I'm not saying it's happening, but the end result is that no matter what's happening, there are many reasons for you to become prepared. And that means with electricity, food, and water. And I saw this coming decades ago. I saw this, and that's why I positioned myself and am constantly improving on what I'm doing. But the, say, for example, the water filter products, you won't find anything like this anywhere. I'm constantly out searching, trying to see what's on the market, etc. And I'm just amazed that there's the filtration products that are being sold out there don't do anything. I mean, they filter out a little bit of grit and sand, but as far as taking chemicals and other bad things out of the water, they don't do anything. You need to take the chemicals out of your water. I don't care where you live. I talk to people all the time. They're all over the place. And all of them have some kind of unique water issue with chemicals in the water. It could be glyphosate. People live out in the country. Their wells are polluted with glyphosate runoff from Roundup. It could be arsenic. Texas has a terrible problem with arsenic. You can pull up arsenic maps on the internet, and it shows where the arsenic locations are. You could be in Idaho. You could be up in, say, Wisconsin and have an arsenic concentration, and you got to get that out of your water. It's a poison. You keep drinking that every day. It's cumulative over a long period of time. It's going to drastically influence your well-being and your family. So you got to get this stuff out of your water. And my filters are the only ones that take everything out all in one filter. Fluoride, if you're on city water, you're for sure getting chlorine and fluoride in your city water, unless you're really in an unusual place. But I did have this program where I was taking people's information and sending them what's in their water, but I just didn't have time to keep up on it. I'm so busy with the wing generator, everything that's going on with that, all of the other things that I'm doing, my guest appearances on radio shows, etc. I've been so busy that I just couldn't keep up with that. So that's why I pulled it down, unfortunately, because so many people were writing in wanting to know what was in their water. And so unfortunately, I just couldn't keep up with that. I'm just one person. And I tried to get help to do that research, but it's very difficult to get people to work. Everybody's busy with their own thing. But leave it safe to say that you have, unless you're really, really unusual, you have something in your water that you have to get out of there. And most of the filters on the market do not even begin to take out what mine take out all in one filter. And beware of the black, anything that's a black foam filter, those are, they do not take out fluoride and or arsenic. You have to buy a special add-on filter. I used to sell those. They're only good for about 500 gallons, and they cost more than the regular filter itself. They're more expensive, and they only last for 500 gallons, and they slow your water down. In a lot of cases, people could not use them because it completely stopped the flow of their water. So that's why I have fluoride, chlorine, and arsenic removal, and all of the other volatile chemicals, heavy metals, which includes the, if you have even like uranium atoms in your water, it'll take that out as part of the heavy metals. And by the way, I don't advertise removing radiation because people misunderstand that. They think that somehow you're blocking radiation. No, it's removing the source of that, the heavy atoms. And so it's just a business decision not to advertise taking out radiation. And I see people making that claim, and their products do not take out radiation. So unfortunately, it's a buyer beware out there. The other thing with food shortage is that you need fresh vegetables on a daily basis. And the grow towers are, I have them on my webpage. They produce a tremendous amount of food. It's very clean. You can buy the lighting system. It runs all winter, all summer. You can have it in the corner of your basement or in the some people even have them as decorations. And once they start producing tomatoes and like lettuce, you start clipping the lettuce and it grows back, or microgreens, or spices and herbs, whatever you want to grow, cucumbers, you have fresh salad there on a daily basis. That's very necessary for your health. And then the energy products, the I was on John Moore's show yesterday, and I think it was a caller called in and asked about the wing generators. And I made the comment that what an opportune time to sell a product that actually works. It's going to get people off the grid, especially for farms and ranches. They have the worst electrical service. They pay the highest prices, and they're in the greatest need of electricity. So the wing generator for these outfits, the farms and ranches around the country, what a perfect time to purchase a wing generator. Just go to my webpage, go to the wing generator subpage, and at the bottom there's a questionnaire. That's how you start out. Send it in, and we'll get you started and speccing out a system. But let me comment on this too, because people have been asking, if the wing generators had been placed in Texas, what would happen? Would they freeze up? And the answer is no. The wing generators are designed to work in extreme conditions, including snow and sleet and ice, and there's no buildup. They don't need a motor to start moving them. And so the wing uses the same technique as used on some airplanes to shed the ice. It's a natural system that works. And the wing generator uses, it's not the same system, but it's the same technique. So there's no ice buildup, there's no snow buildup, and they're not limited. They don't need a motor to get them started. So no, the wing generator would not do this at all. The wing generators would work just fine. And some people have said, well, why don't you put the wing onto these three-blade wind turbines? And the answer is they're not built to run consistently 100%. The wing generator would have them running at 100% almost all the time, and they would burn up overnight. They wouldn't last. So that's why that's not a good idea. I would love to do that. That'd be a way to get power out of those devices, those three-blade wind turbines that are out there, but they would break down, because of the wing just would provide them with 100% power 24/7, and they wouldn't last at all. So anyway, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. The wind products, the food products, the growing food, the grow towers, the water products, and this, I believe, is going to become more common, where they are going to be poisoning on purpose. And now, of course, they're going to say some crazy person did it, but it's part of the agenda to shut down food, water, energy. And so you need a filter that's going to take this stuff out, and my filters will take out that whatever they're putting in there. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. Remember the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is my Science Hour, and we're, as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.